master of many, many, many trades. In other words, he was able of think. He was able to think on many different levels. He was a philosopher. He was very, very many disciplines, whether it's grammar, rhetoric, and Kabbalah. He was really a master of it. I mean, the extraordinary part of it is that he died. He was still in his late 30s. It was incredible that how much a person could know and understand. So some of the Sfarim stick to a certain, they're written, there's Derech Chachma, which is written kind of in the language of logic and so on, technical. So those are easy. He has Kabbalah Sfarim, they're written in the language of Kabbalah. So that's fine. In Das Tvunas, what he attempted to do was to take, he's dealing with theology, he's using the structure of Kabbalah, and attempting not to use one Kabbalah word. So you really have, it's, imagine if somebody was to do a full medical course on the condition that he can't use medical terminology. I was listening to, the professor in Yale had a lecture on physics for alumni that were coming back for like a Shabbaton of sorts, I don't know what to call them. And his deal was he was going to explain relativity without using one equation. The guy has a very good sense of humor. He said, he's Indian, in Bamaka, so he speaks with an accent. He says, I will not use any equation. Development department tell me every equation costs $600,000, development department. So no equation for the alumni. Kapanim, he's writing the Sefer, I can explain it using no technical Kabbalah language. It's a real issue because he talks about things, he doesn't have the precise terminology, and to build a real structure and figure out where he's coming, and he's always going off, but there's an exception for this, but of course it's not this. That's why I find it personally very difficult, and we owe a debt of gratitude to Friedlander, who did make some structure on it, but still it's something that keeping the whole picture together is difficult. It's easier to deal with each piece, but okay, so having said that, yeah. It's a very, very specific brand. So philosophy means the structure of the world using human reason as its basis. Kabbalah is one particular discipline which could fit into reason, but it's not necessarily built on postulates that reason would present. Well, philosophy in itself, the question is, how is philosophy consistent? When we talk of the philosophy, we mean one, a way of dealing with issues by being able to define them, categorize them, structure them. That definitely was him, and that carried over into his Kabbalah, explaining what, when, where, why, and so on. Then there's a more specific version of philosophy, like with capital P, where those things that are obvious to the common human mind are the fundamentals. Everything else is a possibility, and so on and so forth. So that's a very different... So when we speak about the Ramchal's philosopher, with a small p, in the sense that he had a very structured way of thinking. Once he defined a term, he needed to use it a certain way. He needed to structure things in for instance, if you look at, let's say, the Kabbalah of the Sfaradim, which is like the other extreme, with Kashas and Teretz and so on, they couldn't put it into an encyclopedia Talmudis. They don't have a structure. I don't know. He asked me about this. Okay, this is a written that reads out this way, and it's written as a this way, and the answer is this. But that a person should be able to structure it and build and sort of extrapolate fundamentals and then be able to put the pieces in, that's not the type of thinking that Moshe Kabbalah had. It was very, you know, nekudati. very, very, it's like the old-fashioned Lavrov Havdalah, the old-fashioned medicine. For stomach aches, green plants are good. For headaches, yellow pebbles are great. There wasn't any structured understanding of overall structure, bits, pieces, and you could, you know, you could put it into some sort of structure. It didn't exist. It wasn't that type of thinking. The Ramchal is that's him. Nothing that he does is unstructured, and that's his Messias. Very much to the degree that it was sort of put into Chayyim. For two reasons. First of all, he claimed to have Giluyim, where things were Nizgala to him, Minashamayim, all sorts of things, and that got him into trouble. That's why his farm put into Chayyim. Secondly, the Kabbalim, like the Leshem, or the Goyans Talmidim, they held the Ramchal, but they took issue with his over structuring of Kabbalah and sort of making it something that felt was not, that it can't be. That's their issue with it.
The definition isn't any structure to Kabbalah?
It's I guess the best example would be like something overflowing. There's halacha in Kodesh that the Kli is Mekadesh, the Kodesh also. You have a Kli, you have flour, and you have the flour that sticks out of the Kli. They felt not everything can be structured, and that's it. Ramchal's thought process is structured. He doesn't work without that. And in some places it's very frustrating. He has a sefer that's called the sefer is called where he has fundamentals of Kabbalah and so on. And then what he does is he sort of explains, but it gets very annoying. He says, okay, this has two rules. Each one of these two rules, one of them has three sub-rules, one of them has two sub-rules. Of those two sub-rules, there's two distinctions. And you're dizzy before you even got at his first words. But that's it. That's the way he works.
So why is that Kabbalah, it seems that by its nature, is such a diffuse and internally incoherent system?
It would be very similar, just like when you learn classical physics, everything is structured down to list, everything makes sense, everything is pretty consistent, you can box everything. When you start learning the physics that's current today, there are bits and pieces that don't fit into anything else, but you just have to live with it. Things appear, things disappear. It's like we're at a stage where we know all sorts of things, but we don't have either enough information or the brain power, the brain structures, right, way to say, to put into boxes. Just like psychology. Psychology can't be studied like physics. They're klolim, they're ideas, but at the end of the day, there'll always be extraordinary yotzim in a klals, and you'll have to reform. A good psychologist, a good physicist is someone that knows all the klolim and can remember each piece, each time, and so on. So if he can intuit a bit, that's great, but if the information he has, knowing it and having it down is perfect. A doctor is good with that, not fantastic if he can improvise into it. A psychologist, unless he has the intuition in each case to shape it a little bit differently and get a sense of what's unique here, that's why one of these things about, you know, the psychiatrist associations, the categorization of mental illness.
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir.
DSM, there's now talk that the whole thing is worthless, which it probably is. It's not. You will many times get three different explanations of what this person has. It's just not. So is it not a discipline? Well, it is. We do know truths, or we can do things, but it just doesn't lend itself to be boxed. Again, either because of Chaisi Yediya, or more than that, a Chaisa ability to be type of things. I don't know. You know,
it's a psychology, I would say it's because human minds, by their nature, are fickle, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu is always...
Well, fickle also, so that means that me when I say fickle, it's not that it's weak. It just works in a way that I can't possibly quantify. You know, how many in medicine, I could tell you, three doses of this vaccine will give you a 99.99% chance that you have the antibodies in place and will affect any virus. A psychiatrist can't say, well, if you kiss him at least three times, he's going to behave for the next week. It doesn't work like that. You get these maddening, you know, well, you get this clolin and clolin, but with caveats, with things. And the truth is, because it does, so is the pshat. I believe it does not fit. I believe the mind can't fit into the mind. That's my hashara. Just like two things are the same size, my mind is a kli, and I can be tayfis things that are lesser. So the laws of thermodynamics, of hot coffee in the morning in yeshiva, which is also very fickle. But you know, it's like Dr. Mann once told me. I told him if the hot water was in. I said, you know, I found put in the water for 2 minutes. I told him for about 2 minutes in the microwave, and it boils. The Governor Lukansky, you know, it's not scientific. There's no doubt. There's exact numbers and so on and so forth. Tell me exactly how many seconds put in. I told Dr. Monday, I told him, the microwave machine is not a scientific microwave. It's fickle. It has its moods. And sometimes it boils it in 1 3/4 minutes. Sometimes it takes 2 1/4. I don't know why, but that's... No, but the pshat is there's no... The mind is a kli. I don't use a metaphor. Just like the stomach doesn't eat itself up, the mind can't understand itself. Because understanding means bigger. You can understand your child, hopefully. Because it's like I was a child, and I as an adult am a child with more layers, so I can be makif the child, and the picture would be like a kli that I can be. But the child couldn't understand me because I'm bigger than a child. I'm more.
I a bigger mind can understand a smaller mind.
Exactly, and the same way, so an equal mind can't understand equal mind. In other words, I can't understand myself totally. Because logically, that's an implication that I know more of myself than you know, I'm bigger than myself in a certain sense.
Let me say this: it's not an inherent. If we had the greatest.
Kabbalah, being that Kabbalah deals with the realm, it's beginning to move towards the realm of the unknowable. So it's going to be something that is going to be very difficult to get a handle on. It's by its definition not knowable.
Isn't that the whole point of Kabbalah, that it's bringing out?
So what I can do is I can get. That's why my muscle is. It's like the Gedish and the Kli. I can hold on to the lower end of it, and that itself allows me to use leverage. So I can be mechaven the right kavanas in my tefillah from knowing it in the words that I understand, even though the truth of it goes beyond it. So I can get the handle on it. So I get a handle on certain ideas, and even though the idea, the extension of it is beyond me. Yes, and so the lesson has a criticism. So they criticized him for using that approach. For that, they criticized him for using that approach for Kabbalah. But as it makes, he brings in his deeper sperm. He brings in tremendous clarity and some structure with also an understanding. Let's explain why he felt that the ideas of Kabbalah could receive a flavor that would make it understandable to us. Just like when you dye a bacteria so you can see it. The ideas, the logical svaras that he puts in, that he adds to it, why it is that such a pina is called such a pina, he felt that that's inherently possible, for at least for many things. So that allows us, so just like when you stain a bacteria, you can see in a certain sense the bacteria that you couldn't see without the stain. So too, when I add tam to it, when I add a certain havana, well, it will have fun in the mahalchim of Kabbalah, why this meter goes with that meter, so on and so forth. In other other words, we're using, at the end of the day, we're using our sense of things and coloring in Mahalchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was very comfortable with that. Those who argue with him say you run the danger of thinking that the bacteria is green. Instead of a dye which allows you in a real way to kill bacteria, it's almost as if you're saying bacteria are green and that's why you can see them. That was, you know, and again, he was a giant of a person, the Vilna Gaon said to us, that's why his Sfarim are so incredible. But he was definitely unique. You know, when people ask me, you know, like they speak about Kanoim, would you have come out against him in, you know, like, the answer is yes. The answer is the only reason he was controversial, the reason why we're so beholden to him is because the Vilna Gaon said, I would walk to Italy to meet him. So you can't get a Haskama better than that, because it was not, if somebody comes along and tells you, I've been having new Giluyim in the world of Kabbalah, the first thing you offer is a vacation and maybe some help. And like, you know, it's Rabbi, you've been working too long, overtime. I know, it was strange. It was very, very strange.
Can I ask you a question which might not be useful and it comes out of ignorance, but since we're talking in general, wasn't the Tanya trying to be a systematization of Kabbalah? Is there any way to relate them? What's the difference?
No, it's good to get into the right place. The Tanya is trying to systemize Avodas Hashem.
Okay.
Hasidus dealt with Kabbalah. However, they went in an extraordinary range of as follows. It's a fascinating part of the history. They range from somebody like the Breslover, who's one extreme, and where he told the Hasidim, you understand nothing, you can't understand anything. Whatever you do, the time and mitzvahs and everything that's going on is like happening in very big alomas of Shemayim, and that's what you need to know about. The Zel. So the Kabbalah was a way of relegating all of the reasoning. There's a reason, there are trillions of reasons for each mitzvah, they're all up in Kabbalah. Anything that makes sense is not true, and you just have to follow the Shofar and the Rebbe, preferably the Rebbe. That was kind of I'm a little exaggerating, but I'm not terrible. It was a very, the Tanya went to the other extreme. The Tanya said, we need to draw on inspiration of Eretz Hashem for Kabbalah. Kabbalah is not for everybody. I will take out the ideas, explain them as relevant for Avodas Hashem. So what they call Hasidus is an Avodas Hashem based on Kabbalah. The Bala Tanya's Rebbe threw him out. Not his Rebbe, but his Rebbe Chava. No, Magnus was his Rebbe, and the feeling was that Bala Tanya was definitely probably the Cheshav Sebes Hamida. He had a Rebbe, two Rebbeim, after him. He was a very introverted from self over the Hashem, the Bala Tanya. He didn't push Hasidus. It's come a long way. He was the furthest in Chabad. He was very intellectual, very cerebral, very introverted, not into the making Hasidim. He had two Rebbeim, Reb Mendelmin Teps. They were Rebbe Chava and Reb Avram Kalisko, who made Aliyah, went to Israel. They looked around for somebody who would take over, because those days the emailing and texting wasn't what it was today. So he said, you know what, Bala Tanya, he's a big tzaddik, very introverted, he's like a Chaim Kanievsky type of person, he won't make any waves, he's not going to sell chassidus, we'll leave over the shop to him. So they wrote a letter called Chassidim, Rabbi Yisai, everything should be asked to us, but in case of emergency, whatever it is, the Rav Shlomo Zalman is a big Rebbe Hashem, and you can do whatever he wants. People became very attracted to the Bala Tanya. Bala Tanya was an extraordinary person. He really was Mishich Mulamayla Gavoya. And he began, and people began to follow him. And he wrote to Tanya, his Rebbe was stunned. Rav Avram Kalisk, it was a Rebbe Chav. And he wrote to him, this is, you got off the derech. I mean, this is exactly opposite of what the Baal Shem Tov had in mind. Baal Shem Tov had in mind, he said, you need to teach Hasidim one thing. Trust the Rebbe. Whatever the Rebbe does is right. And these are letters. These are letters that are written, and he was very, very, and he fought against him. He pushed against him. He had the hoax against him. There was a lot of focus there, for that reason. you know, it was, he went to Valtanya, said, I will structure a waving over the Hashem based on Kabbalah. So you don't learn Kabbalah in Lubavitch, in the old Chabad, unless you're one of the few chosen very big people. What you do is you learn Hasidus. Hasidus are the ideas of Kabbalah as espoused in the Sfarim of Chabad Rebbes, but basically deal with Avodas Hashem. How should a person, how should a person Hashem through Abba, through Yira, through Merirus, through this, through that? And that was the
how is Avodas Hashem through Kabbalah different than Avodas Hashem the way a Slipbox do it?
Well, there are many ways. If I make Avodas Hashem around being a good member of society, the way the Rav Paul Hirsch does, doing for humanity and so on, I structure things in a certain way. And my mantra becomes integrity, this, that, the other. If I structure things around personal development, like the Bala Musa did, Shleimus Adam, his was Dveikus Hashem. In other words, understanding the ways in which Hashem reaches out to us and how to grab onto those. So it's all about thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's all-encompassing, you know, it's the Hizbeinus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's encompassing the world and take everything and so on and so forth. That became Avodas Hashem. That's the it's really it depends on it's like L'moshel Adama Deimer. If Halacha is a Lego set and you can build many nice things out of the Lego pieces, some of the things leave off a lot of pieces, some of them missing pieces, some of them extraordinarily every piece snaps into place. But Rav Shlomo Hirsch, when you speak about his Shita, what you mean is what's the big picture and how do all the halachas fit in? And he has a certain knage which is a certain ruach, and it's very clearly identifiable as such. If Bala Musa have a certain knage where they deal with the person and his godless and his shlemus. Akash Baruch Hu is the one who was mitzav and told us, but that's in the background. It Chabad deals with being mistabik Akash Baruch Hu through Ava and Yira and the ways in which a person does it and so on and so forth, and the midas, and you know, but it's all focused around that.
But yet, not just Rabbi, but yet, Dveikus is the goal of the Sol Shisharim, as he lays out. Isn't that the ultimate goal?
Sure, but he speaks about a person. No, he speaks very much. It's a person's self development, bits and pieces. Everyone, yeah. At the end of the day, everyone believes in God. Everyone believes in his own control. But the question is really how to structure it. It's not, right. And that's what I'm looking for. So maybe let's start something over there. We don't. So, the first thing is note the dialogue between neshama and seichel. Whatever you want to call it, there are two forces in a person. One is the seichel by definition doesn't pursue anything. Seichel itself categorizes quality. It's just like the mushroom we gave before. You have somebody who's an innovator, an innovator, and you have someone who is a and someone who can structure and categorize things and define things. He's the technocrat who runs the company, but doesn't think of new ideas. The seichel is the technocrat that quantifies, puts the things in place, and so on and so forth. The neshama is the part of the person that seeks to understand. Intellectual curiosity is not a product of the mind. It's a product of the soul, heart, whatever you want to call it. He calls it the neshama. Tavasir etzayin l'siyashe v'aksas t'varim v'isin sh'nema v'em v'asher v'isha al v'avecha k'shem olikim. So the first thing is, he starts with a pasuk. In other words, if this was just kind of two people sitting on a bored day, and one guy says, you know what, let's philosophize. Such a long and boring day, and nothing's good at the movies, and you know, and this and that. Let's just philosophize. He says there's a pasuk. V'yadata hayoyim v'ashev v'isa el v'avecha. In other words, v'ashev v'avecha means to bring something close to your heart. So acquisition of something is there is a discipline whose acquisition falls on Hashem's levecha. Harei meikir menaseinu shechayev kol adam lirdav achid yosam kol ashtas gyorim. So we're supposed to do that, and therefore I am right in pursuing it. So the pursuer is the neshama. And the appropriateness of pursuing it is built on this pasuk of Hashem Zalvecha. Based. Omar Seichel on a Panecha models. Where are you going to? Hina Ikrim Yud Gimel, Vaisa Tesis Point. Okay, now 13 Ikrim. Which one do you want to know? What? Omar Neshama Hina. Kol Ikrim Yud Gimel Hina Mosa Sim Shosa Klaw.
I don't. Straight off the Rambam.
What?
Kol straight off the Rambam.
Of Yud Gimel Ikrim?
Yeah,
we don't have any. Yeah, the Rambam's accepted one. Okay, he says, I'm clear with all of them. In other words, I don't need to add some proof or ratification of it. Some of them I know to be true and I understand. There are those I believe to be true, but not out of any idea. A very simple analogy would be science. Proving it means data. Data, a mathematical equation that proves that if A is true, B must be true, but understanding it, in other words, that the speed of light is constant, would be something we could ascertain by measurement long enough, measuring different things, and we see it. But it doesn't make any sense. Why, if you don't give the light bulb a push, why does the light move a little quicker? It doesn't make any sense. So I can believe something to be true and accept it to be true, but I don't have I don't have a havana in it, the tfisa in it. So what we're looking for is havana and tfisa, and so on. Okay, we'll hold it here, I guess.